Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon today is the Hebrews reading, the end of chapter 11 and the first couple of verses of chapter 12 especially. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word to us today, we pray for your Holy Spirit to encourage us as we run the race. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. No doubt many of you have been watching parts of the Olympics. And I wonder if you've noticed, like I have, various ways in which the Christian faith has shown up there. In Rio, of course, the presence of the faith has been harder to miss as the giant statue of Christ the Redeemer hovers over the city with outstretched arms. But then there have been other moments as well, like the victory of the Fijian rugby team, their first gold medal at the Olympics. And what was their first act of celebration? To sing a hymn and pray together. If you haven't seen that footage, it's worth looking up. It was a powerful moment. Faith has its place at the Olympics. And so how fascinating that in our text we have imagery from the world of the Olympics, athletic imagery, to describe the life of faith, particularly the picture of a race, and even more specifically, an endurance race. We are saved by God's grace alone in Jesus Christ, but the Christian life then is not described as a holiday cruise where we sit back, relax, and float along. It's described as a long-distance race, which is hard, which is painful, where you even feel like giving up along the way from time to time, but which also promises a joyful victory at the end. Because it's a long and difficult race, though, these words come to you today as words of encouragement to keep running, to run well, to finish the race. And today we'll look at three ways the text encourages us in our Christian race. First, with the great cloud of witnesses that surround us. Second, with the call to lay aside weight and sin. And third, by looking to Jesus, our champion. First, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. I don't know if you've had this experience, that it's much easier to run in a group than it is to run alone, for most people at least. I remember doing time trials for pre-season football and we had targets to meet. On my own, I could never get there, but in the group, suddenly my times increase dramatically. There's something about being in a group which makes it easier to run, and something like this is going on in our text. We are to be encouraged as we see that we're surrounded in this race by a great cloud of witnesses. We are not the first ones to run this race, and we do not run alone. But who are these cloud of witnesses exactly? The cloud of witnesses first are the group of people who have been described right through chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. We heard some of that last week. We heard the last part of it today in the start of our reading. If you go right back to the start of chapter 11, it's quite an incredible list. From Abel to Enoch to Noah, through Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses. Then today, the Israelites who passed through the Red Sea, those who marched around Jericho, Rahab and Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel, and so on. And all the way through, the refrain is, by faith, by faith, by faith. In other words, these are not stories of exceptional human strength. These are not stories of people who triumphed by their own willpower. These saints of old are those who lived by faith, which is to say, by God's strength in them and for them. In their life and in their death, they were witnesses to the Lord and His faithfulness to them, even and especially through times of suffering. In the first instance, these are the cloud of witnesses. But by extension, then, this great cloud of witnesses includes all God's people who have gone before us. All God's people who have finished their race and now rest from their labours. And the picture is that you are to be encouraged as you run the race of your Christian life because you are surrounded by these witnesses as if they're in the stands cheering you on. It reminds me of a statement in our own Augsburg Confession of the Lutheran Church, when it says, it is also taught among us that saints should be kept in remembrance, so that our faith may be strengthened when we see what grace they received and how they were sustained by faith. As you hear these stories in the Bible, or as you read a biography of a Christian from the history of the church, or even as your family gets together and retells those stories of the faith, those stories of your great-grandmother's faith, you remember, you give thanks to God for them, and you find encouragement in your own race. Perhaps you've had experiences like this. I know of people who have been going through old family bits and pieces and they come across something as simple as an old Bible or an old prayer book. The pages worn, notes in the margin, the faith of those who have gone before, and they are encouraged in their own life of faith. Because the race of the Christian life in this sense is like a relay race. Those who have gone before pass on the baton to us. We are not the first ones to run, and we do not run alone. We're joined with the angels, the archangels, and the whole company of heaven, the whole cloud of witnesses. That's the first encouragement from our text in our race. The next one is that we are called to lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. You never see anyone at the Olympics trying to run in jeans, a jacket, and big boots, do you? Whatever it is, running or swimming or cycling, they're always looking for ways to shed what they can, to lay aside anything that could be a hindrance to the race. And the same goes for our Christian life. There are things which can hold us back. There are things which make it harder to keep running. And the main thing in focus here is sin, which is very consistent with how the New Testament talks. Jesus says things like, take care lest your heart be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and anxieties of life. Paul often talks about putting things off, putting off anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and so on. This picture can be helpful for us to think about the actual effect of sin in our lives. We're accustomed mostly to thinking about sin as that which makes us guilty before God and needs to be forgiven, which of course is true and central to our faith. But this picture here reminds us that the things God forbids and warns us against are not just arbitrary. They're actually things which weigh us down. They're things which cause us not to thrive and progress in this race. And so for that reason too, they're to be laid aside. Now, of course, all sin is to be laid aside, but there seems to be a hint here that there could be particular things for each one of us that hinder our race. Perhaps something comes to mind for you personally right now. The more important question, though, is how do you lay it aside? And the answer is through repentance. So that as the athlete sits down with the coach to check how his body is shaping up for the race, so we examine ourselves. We confess our sins. We receive God's word of forgiveness, and we lay aside the dead weight that is sin. Confession and forgiveness make us lighter on our feet. Now, there's something helpful here in this athletic imagery in thinking about repentance, I think. Because we all know that training for a race is never a once-off thing, is it? We all know that training for a race is not always exciting. And this picture of laying aside the weight and sin is not so much the race itself, but more like the training. It'd be nice to think that you woke up every single Sunday morning full of zeal to go and confess your sins and receive forgiveness, but it's not always the way, is it? It'd be nice to think that we always find it easy to go into our rooms and shut the door and pray. But it's not always the way, is it? Just as athletes don't always find it easy to get up and go to train. And so in this sense, this picture can remind us that there's a real sense in our Christian life of faith that we need to engage in disciplines, that we need to cultivate habits of the faith, that prayer and confession and meditation on God's words are disciplines in our lives. They are our spiritual push-ups. And when it's hard to do it, sometimes we just have to keep the big picture in mind, that we're in a long-distance race here. I was speaking to someone about this during the week, and they said, but even though you don't feel like doing it at first, you nearly always feel better afterwards, don't you? And I said, are you talking about exercise or prayer? And they said, well, both. So true. This is the second encouragement from our text, to lay aside the weight and sin. Then finally, we have the great cloud of witnesses, the call to lay these things aside, but ultimately notice these are not to be our focus. We're not told explicitly to look at these things. Instead, we're told this. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. As we run this race, Jesus is to be our focus. We are like a child whose parent stands at the finish line and says, just look at me. Keep your eyes on me. Don't look at yourself. Don't look to the left or the right, but look at me. We look to Jesus because he has run his own race of endurance. We look to him in faith. We look to him who went to the cross, who endured for us, endured unimaginable suffering, endured the weight of the sins of the world on his shoulders, endured until he cried, "It is finished." And while the cross would seem like defeat to the world, the Father showed us it was his victory. The Father raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand to vindicate his race, to show us that in Jesus the victory has been won, that Jesus is your champion, and that by faith in him the victory is yours, that his blood opens up a new way, a living way, for us to run our race to the finish line. He's the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, the author and the finisher, the source and the goal. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You begin your race with Jesus, you end your race with Jesus, and he's the one who brings you across the finish line. And notice it was all for the joy that was set before him. As Jesus looked ahead at the suffering he was to endure, it was the fullness of joy on the other side that was his motivation. The joy of bringing salvation to the world. The joy of bringing salvation to you. The joy of the runner who feels the pain of the race but can already taste the victory and so runs on. The joy that he now shares with you. The joy of heaven, the joy of the cloud of witnesses, the joy of your future, and the joy which can sustain you even now through the tough parts of the race. In the end, this is a funny sort of race, because Jesus has already won the victory, even as you still have your race to run. It reminds me of how St. Paul says it elsewhere. I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. So forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. So as you finish off watching the Olympics this coming week, keep an eye out for the Christian faith showing up here and there. And remember that our own life of faith is also a race. Be encouraged in your race by the great cloud of witnesses, by the fact you can lay aside the dead weight of sin, and that your Lord Jesus is your champion who has won the victory. For every Christian, as our earthly life draws to its close, our hope is to be able to say with St. Paul, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.